Good morning. It is so good to see you this morning. I invite you to open a Bible with me, if you will, back to the New Testament book of Ephesians. Can you find Ephesians chapter 2 in your Bible? You'll need a Bible open or on. We're going to be primarily in the letter of Paul to Ephesians, and we'll take a couple of detours here and there. If you have a Bible open, you will be ready to follow along with us. It is so good to see you. So many faces that we continue to see for the first time in a long time. Thank you for being here. We have guests who are present with us. We're so glad for your presence. It is my privilege this morning to share with you just amazingly good news. And I'm excited to do that. Several times this year, already on Sunday mornings, I've invited you to go back with me to Ephesians as we focus on our theme statement for the year, rise and build. And I'd like to do that one more time in this little rolling series. And as we do, I want to encourage you to imagine yourself as one of the original recipients of this letter. Take yourself out of New Albany, Indiana, and place yourself on the west coast of Asia Minor. Take yourself out of this culture, and as best you can, put yourself in a culture from 2,000 years ago. And you take yourself out of this building, and wherever it was that this church of the Lord Jesus Christ was meeting in Ephesus, I want you to put yourself in that scenario. And you can remember what it was like the day that your city was turned upside down by a man named Paul who came and was preaching strange things that you've never heard of before. And it wasn't just that he was saying incredible things, but he was able to do incredible things. And there are priests of pagan temples in your home city of Ephesus who claim great things, but you've never seen them cast a demon out of someone before. And you watched as your city was turned upside down and a giant riot broke out, and you could hear from your home for hours a chant coming from the great amphitheater just a few hundred yards away. As you were in your house, you heard over and over and over again, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." But that didn't stop people from believing in this Jesus from Judea, an often overlooked area of the ancient world. It wasn't cultured like the people around you in Ephesus. And you became attracted to this good news of righteousness as defined by a God who chose to walk among us. Good news that no one had to be left out. It didn't matter whether you were male or female, rich or poor, slave or free, Jew or Gentile, you could be a part of something that God, who walked among us, was and is building. And so you responded to that, and you're a part of this family, this household that is being built, and you see around you lives being changed. You see things you have never seen before as slave and master sit together as brothers and observe the Lord's Supper. You watch as the upper crust examines himself just like the lowliest servant. Your life is being changed by this news, turned upside down, just like the city was a few months ago. And then I want you to imagine that a man named Tychicus comes from the Apostle Paul. Paul isn't able to be there in person, but he sent a beloved brother, a faithful minister of the gospel. And he didn't come just with his own words, his own recollection of what the Apostle Paul had said. He comes with a letter written by the Apostle himself. And on a first day of the week, just like this, you sit in this assembly of brothers and sisters in Christ, and the letter to the Ephesians is read in your hearing. You remember how a few weeks ago we introduced what we have as Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 19. Would you read that with me? Ephesians 2 and verse 19. And as we read that together, I want you to envision hearing this for the very first time. You hear Tychicus read what Paul wrote to you and to your brothers and sisters in Christ. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together. And you realize that this apostle who wrote this letter and gave it to a beloved brother named Tychicus, and now he's reading it in your hearing, he's talking about you. And he's talking about your brother in Christ over here and your sister in Christ over here. And he's talking about together us growing into. But what are we growing into? Just a side note. Do you have the problem that my family frequently has? Maybe we've got some time and we're going to go out to eat. We're going to grab something from a restaurant and we've got time to do that together. And we've got a car and there is gas in the car and we've got money for the food. And we have all of these options and the question is, okay, where are we going to go? You ever have that problem? Some of you are going to have that problem here in just a little while, right? You've got time, you've got resources, there's an abundance of options. Where are we going to go? Some of you are going to sit in the parking lot and not move the car until you figure that out, right? Where are we going to go? I want to suggest to you that lies in front of those people then, and it lies in front of us today. Here is Almighty God who has interceded graciously, lovingly in our lives, and he is building something, and it's not a building, it's us, and we are growing into something. Well, what is that? What are we growing into? Even in 2021, as together we say over and over and over again, let us rise and build. Okay, in January and February and March, we've talked a lot about rising. What are we going to build? One more time, as we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, let's allow the Spirit, let's allow Paul, let's allow Tychicus, who carried this letter, let's allow God himself to tell us in his own words. You're no longer strangers and aliens, you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple. Could I encourage you this morning just to slow down for a few more minutes with me and think about the power of those last few words, the importance of those last few words, not just in the lives of these people, not just in the life of our church family, not just in our hopes and our aims for 2021, but for you and your own individual life. In order to do that, we've got to put ourselves back in the sandals of those original people. Remember, you're in Ephesus. And as you hear this read by the mouth of Tychicus, from the pen of the Apostle Paul, from the heart of God himself, what's going through your mind? We're growing into, we are being built into a holy temple. Well, I'll tell you what would have gone through my mind. Number one, not all temples are holy. After all, remember where we live. We live in Ephesus. We are sitting in the shadow of one of the literal wonders of the ancient world. You remember how months ago the whole city was turned into an uproar as nearly every inhabitant shouted, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." The reason they did that, Ephesus was the home of the temple of Artemis of the Ephesians. Roger did a very effective job this past Wednesday talking to us about the sort of thing that often went on in temples like the temple of Artemis of the Ephesians. And you know, not every temple is holy. In fact, shortly after Tychicus reads Ephesians 2, he comes to what we have as Ephesians 4. Can you find that in your Bible? This is pretty sure why the Apostle Paul said the sort of thing he did in what we have as Ephesians 4 and verse 17. "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do." Picture yourself hearing this in this gathering of brothers and sisters in Christ. "You are living like strangers in Ephesus, spiritual pilgrims, doing things that nobody in Ephesus is doing, singing the praise to a God who walked among us that no one else is recognizing. The bulk of the city is over there in the temple of Artemis of the Ephesians." And now the Apostle Paul, in no uncertain terms, is saying, You can't walk like everybody else who lives in Ephesus. You must no longer walk as they do in the futility of their minds. Those people who day after day go and offer ritual sacrifice and participate in ritual sexual immorality and worship so-called gods and goddesses, they're darkened in their understanding. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They've become callous. They've given themselves up to sensuality. They're greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Think about how it lands in that assembly when you hear by the mouth of Tychicus from the pen of the Apostle Paul, that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And as you hear that, you remember, I used to be one that would go to the temple. I used to be one who participated in those things. Not every temple is holy, and I can tell you that from firsthand experience. And I live in a city where other people are alienated and darkened in their understanding. And I know I'm no better than them. It's just that I have heard the news. I've responded to the news. I am seeking to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. I'm seeking to put on a new self. And over and over and over again, I'm being told that's possible in Christ Jesus. I've been recreated after the likeness of not just an empty, vain God, but the God who created me. I'm seeking to walk this week in Ephesus in righteousness and holiness. As I heard Ephesians 2, first thing that would come to my mind is not every temple is holy, but number two, this temple that supposedly we are being built into, we are being joined together, we are growing into, this is unlike any temple I've ever known. This temple is about life. This temple is, we're being told, built on people who were empowered to do extraordinary things, and they just kept pointing to the risen Jesus Christ as the reason. In fact, Christ Jesus is over and over and over again spoken of as the cornerstone of what is being built. And what blows my mind most of all as I hear this is, we are the stones being joined and built together. And in fact, it's not just Paul who would say things like this. It was Peter who would say things like, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourself. This is unlike any temple I've ever known. We are being built up as a spiritual house. We are being built up in order to be a holy priesthood. We are offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to this God through Jesus Christ. But in order to make sure I really understood, let's just imagine that after he read this, there are questions, and Tychicus is so excited that we are willing to ask questions about what we have just heard. And one of our foundational questions is, well, what is this holy temple in the Lord? Do you see how that's a relevant question for us even 2,000 years later? We live 2,000 years after the first hearers of this letter. Same temple. Same Lord. Same cornerstone. Same living stones being joined together. People, ordinary men and women, created in God's image, alienated from God by our sin, saved by His grace, transformed by His Spirit, built together, joined together on the same cornerstone. Let's make sure we understand what that holy temple is. Undoubtedly, it was more than a magnificent building. In fact, the original temple of the Lord that stood in Jerusalem, people got in trouble when they thought of it only as a magnificent building. Do you remember how the apostles, toward the end of Jesus' life, He's been in that temple and He's leaving and He's going to go across the valley to the Mount of Olives, and they just can't help themselves. Jesus, we're not sure you completely appreciate just how magnificent these buildings of the temple really are. Why don't we slow down a little and talk about it? And Jesus responds by talking about how this temple is going to be destroyed. And yet, years later, the Apostle Paul is writing to Christians and he says, you're being built into a holy temple. And I'm not talking about a magnificent building. I'm not talking about more than a cultural landmark. The descendants of Abraham got themselves in trouble when they thought of it simply in those terms that, you know, it took us 46 years and we're still building this temple. Jesus, who from Nazareth, who do you think you are that you're going to build this again in 3 days? Who do you think you are coming in here and talking to us like this? Look at this amazing cultural landmark that we have. They got themselves in trouble when they thought of it as a place of ritual sacrifice. As long as we've got this amazing cultural landmark and look at the magnificent building and we just keep the ball rolling, we keep showing up every single Sabbath day and we keep offering those sacrifices. Isn't that why the Son of God, at the beginning and the end of His ministry, came in and cleansed that temple and looked people in the eye and said, you need to take these things away. You're making my Father's house a house of trade. Isn't that why 4 centuries before Jesus lived, God, through the prophet Malachi, said, oh, that someone would just shut the doors and stop kindling fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in empty ritual sacrifices. And so our question remains, what was it? Can you open your Bible with me back to Ezekiel chapter 43? We'll come back to Ephesians before we're done. We don't often turn in our Bibles to Ezekiel. We've been reading that as a church family recently. In fact, this past Friday, just a couple of days ago, if you're following along with that plan, it took you into Ezekiel 43. And I want to allow God to remind us what the temple really was. Have you found Ezekiel 43? Begin reading with me in verse 1. The temple in Jerusalem has been destroyed, and Ezekiel the prophet is being given a vision of something glorious to come. This heavenly messenger led me, Ezekiel says, to the gate facing east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the east. And the sound of his coming was like the sound of many waters. And the earth shone with his glory. And the vision I saw was just like the vision that I had seen when he came to destroy the city. And just like the vision that I had seen by the Kabar Canal. And I fell on my face. As the glory of the Lord entered the temple by the gate facing east, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. While the man was standing beside me, I heard one speaking to me out of the temple. And he said to me, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the people of Israel forever. And the house of Israel shall no more defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings by their whoring and by their dead bodies of their kings at their high places, by setting their threshold by my threshold and their doorpost beside my doorpost with only a wall between me and them. They have defiled my holy name by their abominations that they've committed. So I've consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their whoring and the dead bodies of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever." Did you catch it? The answer to, if this was much more than just a magnificent building or a cultural landmark or a place of ritual sacrifice, what was the temple? What is the temple? God gives us the answer in verse 6. Let's read it again. "While the man was standing beside me, I heard one speaking to me out of the temple, and he said to me, 'Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the people of Israel forever.'" Have you ever thought of that, yes, magnificent building, yes, that cultural landmark, that place where sacrifices were offered over and over and over again? Have you ever recognized that when God talked about it, he said, "That's where my throne among men is"? It's all over the Old Testament, if we read carefully. It's in that incredible vision of Isaiah, in Isaiah 6 and verse 1, where he says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up." And I want you to notice that his royal garments didn't fill the walls of a palace. They filled the temple. "This is the place of my throne among mankind." And people needed to understand, it could not possibly contain him. Isaiah 66, he said, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest?" Stephen reminded people who had lost sight of this truth. In Acts chapter 7, "The Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands." We can't contain him, and yet this is the place where he has promised to dwell in the midst of his people. And so before we're done, would you go back with me to Ephesians 2? And let's see if we can't connect these dots. Let us rise up and build. That has been our anthem for the first 3 months of this year. I have a simple thing I want to make sure you see this morning. We are not, as a church family, like my struggling family sometimes in the car. Okay, we got time. We got momentum. We got money. There's a wealth of opportunity. What do you want to build? I mean, look at how people are rebounding. Look at how people around us in the community are hungry and thirsty to get out of their homes and to experience something beyond just the same faces they've been looking at since March last year. What do you want to build? You know, why don't we come up with a committee and let's come up with some ideas as to what the Charlestown Road Church of Christ is going to be known for. What are we going to build and how are we going to build it? We're not listening to Ephesians 2. No, we're not building a wall. Now, we've gone back and we've studied from Nehemiah all about rebuilding the walls, and there was a time and a place for that. But as the Lord's people in 2021, let's make sure that we've got it in our minds. We're not building a wall. We're not building a wall to keep people out. There was a time that Gentiles like us were kept outside of the temple by a literal wall, and Jews held up circumcision as a wall. You can't be a part of us unless you're circumcised, or you can't be a part of us because you're of a different family heritage, and we have Abraham as our father. No, we're not building a wall. In fact, we heard Tychicus in Ephesians 2 tell us about God tearing the wall down. And in 2021, we're not building a magnificent building. We're thankful for the facility, the many physical blessings that we have. We're thankful for the ease and the comfortable nature where we can gather in together. But you take this building away tomorrow, and that's not what we were in the business of building anyway. We're not building a cultural landmark where, well, we're just going to keep bringing kids in here and just keep making them the same cultural clone as we were. And we want to maintain everything that we like to do. And as long as they just imitate us and the same culture just keeps passing on, that's all that we're... Nope. We're not building a cultural landmark. And we're certainly not building a place of empty ritual sacrifice where, like those people in Ephesus, we just show up to the right building at the right time and we do those right religious things and then we go and we live in whatever way we want to live. No, we're not building an entertainment venue. And we can't just assume that everybody knows that in 2021, can we? We are talking about the throne of the Lord God Almighty. Do we really want to come into the shadow of that throne with nothing but our thoughts, our opinions, our jokes, our pithy stories, our way of doing church in 2021? One of our shepherds shared with me just a couple of weeks ago, a church in our neighborhood who proudly advertised all over the community. The month of March was devoted to studying the gospel according to Disney Plus. And you come and you reserve your popcorn and your soda. And you come and you sit and you watch clips streamed on Disney Plus, and then we'll talk about what we can learn from that. Listen, unashamedly, we are encouraging you in a different direction. For a reason. We're not like the lost family out in the parking lot. Well, where you want to go to eat? What are we going to do? Look at all of the choices and the options that we're not building a self-help center where you just come and you get pumped up and you hear that you're awesome and you just be more of the authentic you. You speak your truth. You find and live in accordance with your true self. No, that's not what we're building. We're not building even a spiritual gas station where, you know, you come when you're running low and we'll do our best within an hour to pump you up and send you on your way. No. Is your Bible open there to Ephesians 2? Let's be deliberate. Ephesians 2, verse 22. In Him, you also are being built together. You see, you and I aren't even the active agents here. The main characters in this story. What's God doing in 2021? Same thing He was doing 2,000 years ago. When this letter could literally be read in front of people and hear the same thing. You are being built together into a dwelling place for God. This is of God. This is to God. This is for God. We worship God because God created us to worship Him. Worship is the center of our existence, the heart of our reason for being. And He is inviting us to be a holy priesthood. If you are in Christ this morning, if you are a Christian, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, I want you to understand this morning. It is not that who stands on this stage is the priest that stands before or between you and God. You are a priest. You are to be a holy priesthood. And in a world that is consumed with consumer culture, where it doesn't matter whether we're a grocery store or a movie theater, we're going to tailor everything to meet your needs and satisfy your preferences. It's all about you. No, what God is building is people who offer. Do you see that? As we sing, we're not watching someone else perform and offer a sacrifice. We are simply being led. I am being led. You are being led to offer. As we sing, let earth receive her king and let every heart prepare him room. We're not watching a performance. We're offering. I'm offering. As I sing, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. Understand, as you sing that, you are offering as a priest. When you sing, when my love for man grows weak, I go to the hill of Calvary and I find the right offering to give my God at the foot of His throne. As we pray, listen to me this morning. Don't just close your eyes and bow your head and listen to somebody else pray. You are being led to offer. As we observe, what did we hear the Spirit call us to do? Examine yourself. Test your heart. You're not watching other people do that. You're not watching a priest do that on your behalf. You are offering. As you hear his word proclaimed, you are offering the sacrifice of allowing him to speak to your heart. And as we leave here, we leave as those who have been focused, reminded that we serve as priests. We encourage each other and we offer and we leave this place and we proclaim. Your religious service is not done as you walk out of this room for the week. You've come, you've offered, you've been encouraged, you've been filled up, you've been focused, and now we leave here proclaiming. Proclaiming the excellencies of our Savior. And so in here we gather together and we sing, grace greater than all our sins. And on Sunday afternoon, I've got the opportunity to extend the grace that I sing about. And it's an opportunity to proclaim the excellencies of the one who gave me what I did not deserve. We gather in this room and we sing, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. And I will be around people all this week who will spend eternity somewhere. And I have found the news that can set them free. As we leave here, we leave as priests who offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And unashamedly, in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song of invitation. And we're going to encourage you, as we often sing, nothing in my hand I bring. Do you realize there is nothing you can bring to the foot of this throne? But there is a cross to which you can simply cling. And so in just a moment, Wyatt is going to lead us in Zion's Call. Perfect invitation song. Where did the temple of God dwell among his people of Israel? On Mount Zion. And Zion's call continues to sweetly ring. In the language of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have. And I wonder this morning if as we, as priests of God, offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that honor his name, not because culturally that's what people came up with a long time ago, that's what God, whose throne it is, tells us to do. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And as we do, maybe you are keenly aware of how desperately you need God's mercy. There is such good news. Zion's call sweetly rings. If you need to respond to that call, if you're ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins right here and right now, we can pray with you, for you. This invitation song is for you. Would you let us know how we can help by coming to the front while we stand and sing?